Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Kim Carruthers is a declutter expert who discovered a host of benefits as a byproduct of sorting out our lives while a student in Japan. After completing a quick studio cleanup, we kicked off our conversation with Kim on life before Japan in New Zealand.
So before I went to Japan, I lived in New Zealand in a house in the country on a farm, four barns, absolutely unlimited storage for pretty much anything that you could think of not throwing away.
Yeah.
So going from that to, you know, either apartments or smaller houses in Japan where every centimetre counted was certainly a change of pace.
Kim, was it an easy gear shift for you? I know it's a difficult transition for some people.
I think it's certainly quite difficult, especially if you've come from a background where your parents have packed your head full of, you know, you must not throw anything away because you might need it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as you sort of put your mind to more, well, what could I do with less? You know, I could move house more easily. I could travel. I wouldn't be worried about, you know, whether there's ants or rats or whatever in the back shed. It's certainly, once you get past that initial mindset, a much easier way to live.
So now that you're a professional declutterer, is there a more scientific term for that, by the way?
Not that I've found.
Right.
If anybody's got a better word for it, I'm certainly open to hearing it.
Give us a starting point for decluttering. Where do we begin this journey?
I think it's just a case of everybody has to stop and think, you know, how much time am I spending on my clutter, whether it's dusting it or worrying about, you know, it's spilling across the floor and it's a trip hazard, to, you know, oh, I want to move house or downsize. How on earth am I ever going to do it with all my stuff? So I think if people stop and think about what's their clutter actually doing to them, you know, I hate dusting, so I find not having to dust things is an absolutely great incentive to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But if people can stop and think about those benefits, it really aids in that decluttering process.
The fact that I don't declutter, does that automatically make me a hoarder, though?
Absolutely not. Look, I think statistics show that about a third to a half of Australians have a trouble with having more stuff than they actually want. Some people just naturally know how to avoid clutter, and that can be simply from not buying it in the first place to when you buy something, rather than thinking, oh, I'll hang on to the old one just in case, or my nephew might want it when he leaves house and leaves home in 5 years' time, to going, you know what, somebody really needs this now, I'll donate it now while it's still usable. So some people naturally have that mindset. Others, you know, need to work on developing that mindset. So no, if you don't actually think of yourself as decluttering, if you're doing it naturally, you're definitely not a hoarder.
Turning now to the stuff that we're giving away or selling on eBay or what have you, was there anything that you found difficult when you were decluttering in your life to move on? And what do we do with that?
I think it's very easy, especially with children's stuff, to think, oh, you know, I might need it, or my kids might need it, or my sister-in-law might need it, or anything like that. And it's very sort of easy to think, oh, just in case. But then when you realise that your kids are going to have endless, you know, hand-me-down clothes, and that by the time that you actually do get round to giving it to someone else, it won't be usable. Or if you're saving it for your grandkids, you know, they probably won't want it anyway. I think it's easy to get to that point of going, oh, I'm really glad I gave that away in the end.
When you came back from Japan, at some point you managed to convince Dad to clean out those four sheds, didn't you?
Yes, that was one of my lifetime triumphs.
So how did that go? Because a farmer is always in need of stuff, spare parts. You're always putting something away for the lean times. To go back to a farmer, a man on the land, and say, you know those four sheds, Dad, you don't need all that stuff, can't have been an easy conversation.
Well, actually, I was very lucky. I thought it was going to be absolute, you know, drama. But having read my book, and I think realised that at some point he wasn't getting... His claim was he was never actually getting a chance to retire as it was. He was always too busy. So that all the stuff that he'd put aside for his retirement projects, he really should give to someone else anyway.
Wow.
So I was actually very lucky there. It happened very naturally. And he's now developed a motto of, if in doubt, chuck it out. So I make sure I don't stand still for too long in case I get included in that.
You'll be out in the wheelie bin.
Exactly.
You mentioned your book there. You have a four-pronged principle in there on clearing out stuff, don't you?
Exactly. And I think that's really key. A lot of people get into the habit of overdoing it. So what we say is set yourself a small goal that you can actually reach in the time you've got available. You know, don't think, oh, my God, I've got to declutter the whole spare room.
Yeah.
Think, okay, I've got about 20 minutes today. I can do one shelf. And then start by setting yourself up for success. So be ready with things like a bin bag so you've got places to put the rubbish, a marker so that you can label what goes into the, you know, what's rubbish, what's to donate, what's to be given back to someone else. And then work in set time periods. So once you've started and got yourself organised, then spend your time decluttering, and then stop while you've still got the energy and enthusiasm to tidy up after yourself. Because it's very easy to just keep going until you're ready to drop or you have to run and get the kids from school.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you're going to leave yourself in a mess. It's hard to get back to it. You won't want to do any more decluttering. So stop and then tidy up, you know, put things in the rubbish, put things away if they need to be put away, put them out in the car if the library books need to go back. And then think of a system, and finally, this is the system. How do you stop this sort of clutter coming back? Is it by, you know, making sure that when you buy a new one, you do immediately donate the old one? Is it by telling the kids, actually, no, you're not going to use me as a dumping ground in future, look after your own stuff? You know, it's very important to take that final system step. So that the clutter doesn't just keep coming back.
Most of us, Kim, are pretty busy and we really don't have the time, at least in our own minds, to sit down and do decluttering. But it's your argument that when we do declutter, we end up actually having more time.
I think the first thing to do is just go, you know what, I'm probably maxed out because I'm spending too much time on my stuff. Whether that's simply, you know, when you're getting organised to move house, you're just worried the whole time about how you are going to get packed up, or if it's during the day, you know, you're spending time looking for things that you've lost within all the clutter, whether that be the car keys or the kids' library books or school bags. So it's a case of giving a little to get a lot. So that's one way of sort of motivating yourself to start. And the other thing is just going, you know what, if I can make this a habit, there's often 10 minutes in the day that are free here and there, whether it's waiting for the kettle to boil, waiting for the kids to get their shoes on, all those things. So figure out a way to use those bits of free time to get on with the job. And that's, you know, why it's once you've got the momentum, once you've got those skills, and I think especially once you've learned to stop, that's what so many of our clients say is that, wow, because you made me stop and clean up while I still had the energy,
yeah,
I'm really happy to keep going tomorrow. Whereas so often people just keep going until they're burnt out, they've left the room in a mess.
Yeah.
The last thing they want to do is try that whole process again.
All I've done is taken it out from behind a cupboard and dumped it in the middle of the room, and now it looks worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why we're so big on helping people develop a habit where, you know, they start well, they declutter well, and then they stop while they've still got energy to do more tomorrow.
We've given the kids a bit of a caning so far in this conversation, but I guess it's pretty important that we get everybody involved, that it's not just my project as mum or dad.
Yes, I think that's always a common thing, that there's either one spouse who's a hoarder and one who's not,
yeah,
or there are two people who perhaps there is that attitude of, well, why should I throw my stuff away while you're still keeping your stuff? and it's quite funny. I run training courses at evening colleges on decluttering, and often it's the ones who think that their partner will be the most resistant who find that after kind of leading the charge for 2 or 3 weeks, find that their partner, now that they actually believe that there will be a reciprocation of throwing out,
yeah,
actually jump on the bandwagon really quickly, and they you know, make a very good decluttering team going forward. But I think if I told them that at the beginning of the course, they'd never have believed me.
Is that right? We've dealt pretty lightheartedly with this subject of decluttering, but at its extreme, when we become hoarders, it gets pretty serious, doesn't it?
I think it's really important to distinguish between clutter and hoarding. And I think there's a fairly easy demarcation line in that clutterers usually have too much stuff but do want to get rid of it. They're just not quite sure how.
Yeah.
And hoarders who are very attached to their things and, you know, would be absolutely horrified if suggested getting rid of it. So, you know, you need to have a think about where are they in those two camps. Hoarding usually has an underlying reason, and, you know, it's not an easy issue, but it's being more widely recognised as a psychological problem that stems from things like depression, anxiety, and, you know, starting to be recognised as a problem in and of itself now. So, you know, if it is into that hoarding field, you know, have it, encourage them to seek help, whether that be talking to their GP first of all, and then from then on perhaps a psychologist. Don't treat it lightly. It is an important medical psychological problem, and it needs to be treated as such by the appropriate professionals.
Just one final question. Is it decluttering if I just find different places to put the stuff?
No, unfortunately, just storing it better.
Right.
Good storage can help.
Yeah.
Because it helps you find what you've already got, so you don't buy another one.
Right.
But just storing it better, unfortunately, doesn't really solve your clutter problem. So, if in doubt, as my father says, chuck it out.
I'll be honest, that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
No, better racking in the garage is not the answer.
Thank you for your time, Kim Carruthers. It's been fun.
A pleasure. Thanks, Dwayne.
Open House listener Lizzie joined us after our conversation with Kim Carruthers went to air and shared her experience of simple living. We started our chat with Lizzie with how she got started decluttering her life.
Well, I suppose it started a couple of years ago. I read a book about consumerism and I was quite motivated by it, about being just a mindful consumer rather than being mindless about it. But I suppose the biggest push came this year. I moved out to a cattle property to be a governess out on a cattle property. And so I'm back out in the world. I only had a very small space to live in a little shipping container. And I suppose it made me aware of what I had that I didn't need. And so I started, got rid of half my clothes and half my books. And
how'd you go about prioritizing what it was that you were going to kick to the curb versus hold on to?
I think recognizing what I had two of, or two things that did the same job, even if they were slightly different. And I don't know, I'm a fairly emotional person, so I suppose it was just which one I liked more.
But you made a start, that's the important thing. So where did it go? What did you do with it?
I've cleaned out quite a lot of my stuff, so I'm down to just kind of the basics. And
you just gave it away?
Gave most of it away, gave a lot of it to friends and a lot of it to charity. And have taken I'm not going to buy any clothes for a year kind of vow.
Wow.
So I'm trying to do creative things like have clothes swaps and stuff instead, which is much more fun.
I love the idea of a clothes swap. For those who haven't got into this yet, how's it work?
I wasn't sure myself, so I just emailed my friends and said, bring your clothes and we're just going to swap clothes.
Which is great if everybody's got the same size as you.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I'm hoping that having a few people there, there'll be a little bit of variety, and everybody has stretchy things and, you'd be surprised, I reckon.
I also understand you're planning on doing a decluttering of your social media.
That's a big thing that sort of already happened. A couple of weeks ago, I decided to get off Facebook, finally.
Cold turkey.
Just emailed, private messaged a few people saying, here's my email address, and just decided that's it, I'm done.
What's the response been like?
I had so many people email me saying that they've wanted to do it too.
Wow.
There is a lot of good out there in Facebook, and I totally get that there are reasons. I was on it for years, but it is so much better being off. It's just speaking about clutter, I suppose, it just feels like my mind and my day feels less cluttered.
I love the way you've taken it to that next extent that says, you know what, it's not just about stuff I've got, kicking around the bottom of the cupboard or on the floor under the bed.
No. But
it should pervade every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely feels much less stressful, actually, not having it.
Yeah.
It's really enjoyable.
Well,
you have real conversations.
I hope you've got a good quality of friend that brings the right kind of gear to your clothes party.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too, because I need a few things.
Well, you can't say on Facebook what you're after now, so you're high and dry, aren't you? Thanks for your time, Lizzie. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.